Kevin, you pop that back door closed for me. Oh, no offense, Shannon. I think this should be something we all this morning should take very serious, this message, as Christians, to let God's will become our will. We have a lot of plans that we want to make. We have a lot of desires, and there's nothing wrong with that. God gives us those desires. But there are times that God changes our desires or changes our plan. And we've got to be willing to say, okay, God, if this is what you want, this is what I want. We pray that a lot of times, you know, Lord, let your will be done, let your will be done. But when it's not done according to the will we really want, we think God failed us. It's not true. God did not fail us. If we are praying a prayer, be very careful if you're going to pray a prayer and say, Lord, I want your will to be done. Be very careful. And be ready to accept what that will of God is for your life. It may not always line up with what we're thinking. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to start, just read one verse. Verse 10, for this scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. This is the Lord's Prayer that we all know very well. You know, hallowed be thy name, kingdom come, that the Lord's Prayer. But verse 10 is what I want to focus on this morning. Look what Jesus says. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, as we pray, our will should line up with the will of God. That we should want what God wants more than what we want. And I know that's hard to fathom sometimes because we think that we know more than what God knows. Or we think we can figure out our lives a lot better way. Or we even give God scenarios. We give God a plan. We draw it out. Say, God, if you could work it out this way, this would be wonderful. This is kind of how I see it coming, God. What about you? Fist bump, Lord? Is that how you see it? No, it's not how you see it. How do you see it? See it like that? Are you serious? I don't want that, God. But don't you understand? It's like when you're raising your children. It's the best example we can get. Randy and Stephanie have a couple of beautiful children, and they teach them things and tell them things, and you've used the word no before, right, to your kids? And you tell them no because you're looking out for their best interest. And I'm sure they don't think that's fair sometimes. Mommy, can I go here? No. Why? Because I know best. Well, why? That's not fair. Because I know something you don't know. What is it? I can't tell you. Just trust me. It seems so unfair sometimes when God doesn't bless us the way we think we should be blessed. We see things, as Dee sung that song, Lord, give me what I need, not necessarily what I want. Because sometimes we ask for something we want. Perfect example. I always wanted, and this is no knock to any of you that have one, but Nick will say amen on this too. I always wanted a Jeep Cherokee, always. Never had a Jeep. So I go to my mechanic before I buy it. I said, hey, Mr. Mechanic, think about getting a Jeep. What do you think about Jeeps? He goes, I love Jeeps. I'll be seeing you all the time. Exactly what he told me. Well, I want a Jeep. I got the advice of my mechanic to tell me he'd always be seeing me. What does James do? Does James take it into prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, your will be done. And if a Jeep's not in my plan, then please show me that. I don't do that. I just ignore my mechanic. I ignore God. I want a Jeep. James Lewis wanted a Jeep. And by George, James deserves a Jeep. When I drove it home on the way home from where I got it, the check engine light came on. So help me. Hey, I had to take it back the same day. They say they fixed it, but I think he just cleared the light. I've learned that trick since. That's cleared the light. Yeah. And it stays off for a few more days till it comes back on. I place sensor after sensor after sensor in that Jeep. Power window. Air conditioning went out. I mean, it got to where I couldn't get on an interstate. I look like a little old woman trying to get on a ramp. I look like somebody I fuss at when I'm driving now. I'm getting on the interstate, mashing the gas. The thing won't go. I mean, it's like something is stuck in the muffler. It just wouldn't go. It got dangerous. I had 80-year-old women give me sign language. Sorry, ma'am. I can't get over. It was bad. But you know what? That was my plan. I wanted a Jeep. So, by George, get my... And you know what? It ended up just... It cost me. because I wanted it. Now, not all Jeeps are that way. And I got one with low miles, really low miles. Only had 64,000 miles and I got it. I mean, it was a low mile Jeep. It wasn't like it was a ragged out thing. It looked nice. Mainly, it looked good. It was a cool Jeep. When I was taking Jamin in North, all the guys wanted to buy my roll bars off the side. I mean, I was up in there. I might not be able to match the gas very much, and I might have had check engine lights popping everywhere, but I look cool. No air conditioning. Whew, I'm hot. But you know what? That's what I wanted. We need to pray for God's will in our lives, because I bet God was shaking his head like, man, you went to the mechanic. He told you about it. You don't even really pray to me about it. You just go get it without any seeking of my counsel. I know it's a very minor thing compared to the real things in life, getting a bad car. I know that. And it wasn't a terrible car. I mean, I had it 5 years. But seeking God's will is important, because God does know what's best. And here he tells in his prayer, here's what I want you to pray. Pray that my will be done in your life as I plan it in the kingdom life. Let it match. Let it come together. It's important that we do that. Next scripture, Jesus is talking as well. And this is where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows he's about to be crucified. He knows this is his last few moments before they come get him and capture him to take him away. Look at what he says in Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He knows his time's coming. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Wait here and watch with me. And when he went a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from before me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. This is a very hard prayer. Imagine you're at the brink of death, and that's your prayer. You know you're about to die. You know you're about to be captured and tortured. But yet your prayer is, Lord, I don't want this to happen. Believe me, this isn't the way I would draw it up. But God, is not about me. It's about your plan for my life. Because your plan is going to produce something in my life that all of my plans can't produce. And I know we make dreams and we make goals, and I'm Mr. Goal-oriented. I mean, I've always been that way. But I've realized that my goals sometimes aren't achieved, not because I'm unsuccessful or because I have failed, but it's because it's not what God wants. It's not what God desires. And so God alters that or reroutes that in my life to position me in a place that he wants for me, that he desires for me. And that's where we should want to be. God, where you want me to be is where I want to be, because you are not going to lead me astray. Just like when you tell your children no about something, you're not doing it to be mean or the boss or in control. You're doing it for their benefit, to realize this is going to cause you to go down a wrong path and end up at a wrong place. But if you take this route, this is going to lead you to where I want you to go. God took the children of Israel a 2.5-week journey. It took them 40 years to get there. Man, how many of us feel like that? Man, I've been on a 40-year journey. Man, I should have had this handled a month into my journey, and here's been 40 years, and I'm still struggling. But God had a purpose in that 40-year journey. God had a great plan in that 40-year route, teaching them, showing them, providing for them, edifying them, letting them know, I am your protector, I am your healer, I am your watcher, all the miracles, all the signs. He sustained them all of that time, and they saw their God do what he said he was going to do. Sometimes our blessing doesn't come on our timetable. In fact, most time it doesn't. But it will come as we trust God and believe him. Next verse, he goes on again in verse 42. He went away again a second time, the same passage. His disciples were sleeping. He went and told them, man, look, can't y'all stay awake and help me pray? I need your support. I want you praying. He says, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. A second time he says that. Jesus says that. Lord, I don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to go this route. You know, nobody wants to lose their home or lose a car or lose a job or lose a spouse or lose a child or have a sickness or have a disease diagnosed upon you. Nobody desires that. Nobody wants that. But things in life happen that way sometimes. And how we respond to that makes the difference in whether we walk in victory or defeat, Whether we say, God, I'll lift up my head and my hands and I'll praise you in the storm. No matter what comes, I will stand on this solid rock and I will praise your holy name. Because your name's not changed. Your power's not changed. Your salvation's not changed. My future's not changed. Because nothing in this present can cancel out what you plan for me in the future. I'm part of your eternal plan. God, I'm part of your long-range plan. I'm part of the 50-year plan. I'm part of what you have prepared for me, God. I'm there. So I will praise you regardless of what I see. I'll praise you. How many times? I use the example a lot in sports. How many times? Am I still a Tar Heel fan? I sure am. They get their hind ends whooped. They sure did. Was I embarrassed? Yes, I was. Was I glad Duke won? No, I wasn't. And you know what? But I'm still going to pull for the Tar Heels. That's still who I like. Win or lose, rain or shine. But man, when it comes to God, we throw in the towel on the cross of Jesus much quicker than we throw in our jersey on the gym floor. We will throw it right in because God ain't moving. God ain't working. Man, God is watching you every single day. God has not forsaken you. God has not left you. God's presence is with you every step you take, every thought you think, every word you breathe, every person around your life, every place your foot trods, the presence of God is there. He remains faithful. Next verse, 44. A third time, Jesus says this. He left them and went again and prayed. The third time. Look, this is Jesus praying three times. I don't want this. This is the Son of God, God in the flesh, the very Savior of the world. He's praying a third time and said this. So, says this. He left. I'm sorry, go back. I'm sorry. He left again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Three times Jesus says, I don't want this, but your will be done. And aren't you glad for our sake? As selfish as it sounds, that God's will was done. Because God's will sanctified us, justified us, and glorified us forevermore. Because God's will was done, I have a place that's been prepared for me that no man can take away, that no enemy can steal away, because he is defeated under my feet forever. Because the plan of Jesus was fulfilled. And though it sounds selfish that he was tormented for me, though he was beaten 39 stripes across his back for me, spit upon and ridiculed and blasphemed against, here is the very God in the flesh who left the heavenly rim to take on this earthly rim to pay a price that we could not pay because he was doing the will of the Father because he drank of the cup that was given to him. How many of us will drink the cup that's given to us and not just drink it, but drink it with humility and drink it with obedience and drink it with honor and worship. God, this is the cup you've given me. And God, I'll drink it and I'll sup on it because this is what you have planned for me. And you don't know the lives that are touched because of you that you may never know about. But because you're following God's plan and his will, not only is your life blessed, but also the ones around you are being blessed because they stepped out to trust God's will more than their own. Next scripture. This is Genesis chapter 12. This is the story of Abraham when God called him. Now, I want you to picture this. Abraham had a life change here. He's in his place living his whole life with his family. Everything he knows is here. But God speaks to him in chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country and out of your from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land I will show you. He didn't even tell him where he was going. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Here's a man's life who was settled where he was. Settled. He had nowhere else to go. God stepped into his life and said, I've got a different plan for your life. I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. He didn't even give him the directions yet. There was no GPS saying you're going to go to Central Florida. You're going to go to LA, California. You're going to go to Houston, Texas. He just says, go to a place I will show you. Something about faith is we don't have all the answers ahead of time. We don't see the end result right now. So we take a step by step by step as God unveils his plan for our lives. That's why it's called faith. Abraham left what he knew, left what he was settled with, left what he was comfortable with to do the will of God. And we know how that turned out. Pretty doggone good. Because Abraham was blessed and his seed is blessed. And the Bible even says that we, James, Bill Fuller, born in 1971, is Abraham's seed. Think about that, man. I mean, Bill was born, we're talking, what, 3,000-4,000 years or something after Abraham was called blessed. Here comes, I won't use your middle name. Here comes William, let's just say H. Fuller Jr., 1971, another seed of Abraham. Because that Abraham followed the will of God, generation after generation have been called the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah! Glory! You don't think God's will matters? Yes, it does. What if he'd stayed right there where he was comfortable and not left? All that would have been missed. All that would have been lost. But Abraham obeyed. Next scripture. Let God's will become your will. 2 Kings 5:8. If you don't know this story, this is the story of Naaman, who was a military person of great importance. He had authority and influence and was well thought of. But he was sick. He had leprosy. That was a death sentence. And it was considered unclean. You couldn't be around the people if you had this. It was worse than pink eye. This was leprosy. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8. If it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard, is that my right verse? Yeah. Had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent the king, saying, "Wherefore have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman, this great military person, came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was wroth. He was mad, and he went away. Why was he mad? Because he said this. He thought, "Surely Elisha, the prophet, would come out to me. He would stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Naaman's thought was, here's how God's going to do it. Just like we say, right? He wanted Elisha to come out and just wave his hand. "Don, you're healed. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. Go and be clean." But no, the military officer told Don to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And it wasn't even Elisha that came out to him. Imagine Don called for the pastor to come to his rescue, right? "Pastor, I need your help. Okay? And I don't know, I send Randy." No offense, Randy. "I send Randy. And Randy comes to your door. Don, here's the word of God. Go dip in the river 7 times. You shall be clean." First of all, Don's mad because, "Why are you at my door? I called for the pastor." "Well, the pastor sent me." "Was he too busy for me? Does he not like me? Did I not give him enough money last time he came? I don't know. What's the deal?" Don has a choice to make. Does he listen to the word of God through Randy? Is his focus on who the prophet is or who the healer is? Is his focus on the method or the way it's done? So here, Don's got a choice to make. I'm mad. First of all, the prophet didn't come out. He sent some bozo. You're not a bozo, Randy. He sent some bozo out here. And instead of just healing me, just laying hands on me, just saying, "Hey, you're healed," I've got to go to the muddy Jordan River, me, a dignified officer of the U.S. Marines. I might get my bars a little bit dirty. People's going to see me dipping in the river. That's uncouth, as my mother says, and Melly hates that word. Let me ask you a survey. Does anybody else in this church ever use that term uncouth? If you have, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. So see, it's not an uncommon term. Uncouth. Mindy says it because her mother said it. So it must be a generation thing. But think about this. Here's this military officer thinking, this is uncouth that I've got to go in this nasty river. Me, a dignified officer, a leader. Why can't he just do it this way? Because that's not the way it's done. Do you want your will to be done? Or do you want God's will to be done? Do you want to stay sick and die? Or do you want to be healed and well? So he went away mad because he didn't like the outcome of what was going to happen. Verse 12. Then he tries to justify it. Are not Abana and Parfar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? No! You can't. That's not what God said. I mean, think about this. Here's Don. I said, we're going to go down here to the Rocky Creek. Well, can I go to Lake Norman? Where the point's at? Off that beachy area behind that big old mansion right there and just dip right there? No. Can I go down to Charleston and get in one of those beautiful bays by the bridge? No. You're going to, if you won't heal, Don, it's Rocky Creek or bust. And yes, you've got to dip 7 times, not once, not twice, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, but you've got to do what God says. This is the will of God for his healing. This is what God told him to do. But he's justifying and arguing. First of all, I don't like who you sent. I don't like the river. I don't like having to do it. Well, then die. Goodness. I mean, think about it. If some of you had stage 4 cancer and you had 3 weeks to live, and a doctor says, if you'll go down here to the Catawba River and dip 7 times, your cancer, would any of y'all argue with that? I know I wouldn't. I'd dip 70 times 7. I dip as much. I stay down until I couldn't breathe if it helped. I mean, I want this cancer gone. So he's arguing with them, trying to justify how God should do it. So he says, are all these not better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Now look at what happened in verse 13. Thank God for servants. Thank God for friends, for people that support you. His servants came near. What wisdom they had. And said to him, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done that? How much rather then he saith to thee, wash and be clean. What he's saying is, if he come to you, Don, and says, go up on that rock and stand like this and just look good and say, I am the man. Yeah, I am the man. I am the man. I am the man. I am the man. I'm the man. I'm the man. Do it 7 different, whatever. He had done that. Oh, yeah, everybody see me. It's a glorious way to get healed. What wisdom his servants had, saying if he'd done some great thing, he'd have done it. Why not? All you got to do is go to the water. It's not complicated. Just go to the river and dip. So he says in verse 14, then went he down, and he did obey. He dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He finally lined up the will of God with his own will. His will was, man, I don't like the Jordan. It's muddy. I want to go to that river. Well, that ain't what God said. It's amazing how we pray for the will of God to be done. He tells us what to do, but we want to change the plan. That's not what I want, God. That's not what I'm looking for. You know, that's not the Jeopardy question. That's not the Jeopardy answer. Wrong answer. You know, wrong. No, do what God says to do. Trust his will for your life. Another story here. Where are we going to be at here? Daniel. This is Melanie's story. Daniel 3. Just a few verses here to read in Daniel 3. We know the story of this, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And they had to trust God's will in their life to save their life. Chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 14, excuse me. We'll go to 14 through 18. Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king, spoke unto them, the three children, says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Of course it was true. That's why they didn't bow down. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, and the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the other kinds of music, if you'll fall down and worship the image which I have made, all is well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, they had a choice to make here. Okay, the will of God is that I worship him. My will says, save my hide. Because I don't care how brave we think we are, we can get scared pretty quick. If I tell Manley, I just saw a mouse right there beside her, she had the Holy Ghost so fast, y'all would all get shouting. We can get scared pretty quick. Here they're facing death. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but you got to think in their minds. They're human. They're not superhumans. They're human beings. You know they thought or they felt inside probably some nervousness, knowing they weren't going to bow down, but at the same time knowing they're probably going to die because of it. And having that nervousness of thinking, okay, what do I do in the moment where my life's on the line? God, am I going to still trust your will for my life and do what you call me to do? Or am I going to change your will and do what I want to do? Because what I want to do is get the heck out of Dodge. I don't want to go in no fiery furnace, man. I don't want to burn up today. I have no desire to want to die today. But they had a split second to make a decision. Which will they follow? Their own flesh or the will of God? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and says, the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer in this matter. We don't have to think about it. We know what we're going to do. We made our decision. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. I'm not going to do it. I'm trusting God's will, not mine. I'm going to obey what God's called me to do, and I know the true living God, and I will not sacrifice worshiping him. Their will could have got them out of it. They could have said, you know what? They could have talked among themselves. Hey, boys, come here, huddle up. We know who we serve. And after this is all over, we'll go back to God together, and we'll fast, bring our clothes off, sit in ashes and sackcloth, and we'll say, God, we're sorry. You know, Peter denied him three times. We're sorry. God, you know we love you, but man, didn't want to die today. They didn't do that. They immediately came together and says, this is the will of God for us. Whatever his will is, whether we die in this fire, we're with God. If God saves us, it's a glory to him. Either way, we're blessed. Either way, we're spared. Either way, we're saved. Either way, we're rescued. Either way. Trust the will of God. Go to the next one. We'll close out with this. This is Luke chapter 5. We're starting with verse 4. Luke 5, 4. This is a story of Jesus talking to his disciples. And look what happens here. Starting with verse 4 in Luke 5. Now when he had left speaking, Jesus was out teaching out by the lake. So when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Drop your nets for some fish. Simon answered, this verse to me is so powerful, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, verse 5. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. We've fished, we've worked all night, God. It ain't out there. Nothing's out there. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. Following the will of God. These were fishermen. Joe Brown's a fisherman. Used to be. Guess he still fishes. But back in the day, he was pretty good, I hear. He's got some big fish stories I've heard about. Joe was part of a fishing club, and I mean, he was all in. Had a boat, went out there on his boat. If Joe Brown was out fishing all night long, hadn't caught near a thing, hadn't caught near a thing. And somebody that's maybe not a professional fisherman comes up to Joe. His boat's up on the shore. He's cleaning everything up. And some dude he don't half know comes up and says, hey, take your boat back out there and drop your net. Master, Lord, John, whoever he is, I fished all night long. You know, I've toiled, caught nothing. But at your word, I'll let that net down. I'm surrendering my will and what I think is right to your will and what you say is right. Surrendering our will to God's will. saying, God, this is what I desire, is for your plan to be realized in my life. Nevertheless, at your word. We should remember that phrase for our whole life. Nevertheless, at your word, God. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do this. It says in verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. Man, God don't do nothing halfway, does he? I mean, there was nothing there all night long. There were no fish there. And I'm telling you, I love this story because I really, truly believe there weren't fish there. But I believe that when they dropped their net, their faith activated an appearance of the fish that wasn't there before, but they appeared at the activation of their faith. That's why our faith is so important, because it activates the blessing into our lives. All of a sudden, these were professional men. They did it for a living. Nothing was there. And the minute they dropped their net, not only is one net full, but a second net is full to the extent the boats are about to sink. Man, God was saying, here's what I can do. When you surrender your way to my way, your will to my will, when you surrender your authority to my authority, here's what can happen in your life. Many people don't want to surrender to authority, whether it's work, whether it's church, whether it's anything. They don't like authority. Don't like police officers, don't like teachers, don't like preachers, don't like bosses. But authority is part of life. And you can never, ever be a good leader until you can learn to be a good follower, ever. You must follow with your heart and with obedience, and then God will exalt you to other things. But nobody really likes authority. We want to do our thing, but I thank God for it. I've heard idiots, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that in church. I've heard people not real intelligent sometimes make comments here in America that we'd be better off without a police force. I mean, can you imagine that? Look, are there some bad cops? Yeah. Are there some cocky, arrogant cops? Sure. Are there some cops like Barney Fife? Yeah. Yeah. Got a little action in this town, pulling his pants up. Yeah, there's cops like that. But think about where we would be if there was nobody to call. Kevin, even the criminals call the police sometimes, don't they? When they're in trouble. The ones you busted last week are calling the next week. Hey, man, somebody's in my hand waving a gun. I need help. That was you last week. Yeah, they'll call. Authority is important. Authority is in place for a reason. And we need that for structure of our society, no matter how much we dislike it sometimes. In the military, for you that are military people, you had no quarrels listening to your authority because you knew the price that would be paid if you didn't. Can you imagine telling your drill sergeant, Don, when he says, give me 20, eh, I'll give you 10. You'll give me 10, will you? Yeah, yeah. He'd be saying, I'll give you, okay, you want 10? Okay, give me 10,000. Go ahead. And I'll sit here, I'm right with you. The last one is done, buddy. Oh, my goodness. Authority is important. We don't like authority. And speaking of spiritually, we don't like spiritual authority. We don't like surrendering to God's authority. That's why everybody tries to justify their sins, justify their lifestyle. Instead of saying, you know what, here's what the Bible says. You know this Bible is an authority? It's an authority in our lives. And we don't like it. Because, to be honest, most of us, all of us, I would say, all of us, have parts that we don't live our lives according to the Word of God. So it makes us uncomfortable. If we can justify, just like Naaman did, can I get baptized here? Can I get dipped here? If we can say, well, Lord, can I just live like this and everything be okay? Can I do this and it be okay? We don't want to surrender to the will. Here's why God has this for us. It's for our benefit. It's not to punish us. He wants his will to be done in our lives, that we have the most peace, the most joy, the most strength, the most blessing that we can have in this earth while we're here. Just like you do for your children. The Bible says he correcteth those that he loves. If we are his children, he corrects us, and we hear his voice, and we have his chastisement because we are loved by him. A parent that doesn't discipline their child, I really question where their love for their child is. Yes, it's hard to discipline them. Yes, it gets draining to say no 30,000 times a day. I get it. No, 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 I get it. It's draining, and they push the limit. And it only gets worse as they get older. I'm sorry, Shannon. Kayla, it gets worse. Krista gets worse, darling. Carrie, oh, you've been through it once. You know it gets worse. It's like, man, the terrible twos. Well, yeah. Then they get four. Then they start school. They come home saying words. Where'd you learn that word at? Everybody on the bus says it. Oh, my gosh. Really? Then they hit puberty. We've all been there. You transition. You're going from that kid to that, trying to push to that young adult, and your emotions are everywhere, and you go through all of that. And then they start kicking against your authority, and you're the stupidest person in the world, and you don't have any of the answers they need, and they don't believe anything you say, and you go through all of those stages because we don't like authority. I have no problem with authority as long as the authority is sound. I guarantee you, Bill's got a boss, right? You got a boss at work. And I guarantee you, Bill has no problems having a boss as long as his boss ain't a moron. Right? You know, if they've earned that authority. You know, when I see military personnel out, you know, or like at funerals, a lot of times we do military rites. You'll see the young guys come in doing the military rites with the three-gun salute and folding the flag. And I always look at their bars on the side or, you know, how they're marked. And I'm always like, man, you know what? They've earned that. They've earned that position of authority. Respect that. Well, I think God's earned the authority. I mean, he kind of made you. And he kind of keeps you. And you kind of wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. He's the creator of all things. The Bible says all things visible, invisible, you know, were created by him. He's authority of all things. So I don't have any problems surrendering to God's authority, but many people do. Let's finish this up. They begin to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, bless you, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that were taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And look at verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. By him dropping that net initially, obeying the will of God, now their whole destiny's been changed. Because now they're not going to be fishermen anymore. They're going to follow Christ and be fishermen of men from now on. This is how things work when we let our will become, or God's will become our will. It's very important. That's why I had Dee sing that song. Lord, it's not about what I want, it's about what I need. God, you know what I need. I had dreams when I was younger, like the old song Ray Bolt sang. When I was young, I had dreams, had visions. We have those. Some of those kind of pass, some of them don't. But it's okay as long as I know I'm in God's plan. It's all that matters. I can let things go if I know that that's not what God wants for me. Because Father does know best, doesn't he? He so knows best. God knows what your tomorrow is going to look like. None of us do. We hope tomorrow is going to be good. We hope when our feet hit the floor, it's a good Monday, don't we, Stacey? We hope tomorrow's a good day. But we don't know that. But God does. And God knows everything is going to come into our path tomorrow. God knows every person is going to surround us. God knows everything is going to happen in our lives the next 24 hours. We don't know that, but he does. So God, let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done. If you're having a problem surrendering your will to God's will, this is the day to say, God, I'm ready to surrender my will to what you want. It doesn't seem fair what I'm going through. Life's not turned out the way I thought. You know, I can't believe the age I'm even at now. I have a birthday next month, and to say it out loud, I almost cringe. I'm like, I cannot believe it. I don't feel like I should be that age. It's starting to sound a little old. And I'm like, it shouldn't sound old. Man, where does time go? I thought I would live my life out, you know, being retail my whole life. I don't know what I thought. I mean, I had dreams, I had goals, and God has just changed all that. My life has changed so much in the last 15, 20 years. I'm in places I didn't think I would be in. Some are good and some are not so good. And some of those places I don't like being in, but I got to trust God. Maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe I'm looking at this place as a bad place, and maybe it's supposed to be a place of opportunity. A place, God, that I can't get away from. Kind of like Jimmy Stewart in Wonderful Life, right? He could not get away from the bank. The bank was his thorn, his flesh. The bank was his Achilles heel. But the bank is where God wanted him to be. It wasn't in his plan, and I know Melly hates this part. It wasn't his plan to go travel. It wasn't in his plan to go overseas. It wasn't his plan to go live in Hawaii. That wasn't his plan. Not me. It wasn't God's plan for him. God's plan for old Jimmy Stewart was to stay right there and keep the bank going. And Melly hates that movie because of that. And I'm sorry. God has a plan for each of us. What am I doing with it? Am I still going my way, or am I surrendering to your plan for my life? Marty, come play a little something. I want to ask you this morning, as Marjorie's just playing something this morning, just play a little soft music. If you want to surrender your will to God's will, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you're angry this morning. You're mad because life ain't worked out. That's okay. We get that way. You know what I think seems real unfair? A man works his whole life. He finally gets to retire at 65, 66, and then gets cancer a year later and dies 2 years later. Seems unfair, doesn't it? Worked my whole life for a moment I could finally retire and have quality time. The kids are finally, thank God Almighty, out of the house. And it's me and my wife, and we want to have some time together. And now I can't because I'm too sick. Seems real unfair. Life has a lot of hardships. A lot of things happen. Some of you have lost children. You've been through divorces. You've lost spouses. Some of you have health issues and you're in pain every single day. But in the pain, you can still be in the will of God. In the tragedy, you can still be in the will of God. As you say, God, let your will today become my new will. I'm looking at things the wrong way. I'm looking in the wrong places. God, I'm looking at it through my eyes and not your eyes. The cup I've been given, I don't always like, but Lord, if it's the cup you've given me, let me drink it with obedience and with peace. Say, yes, Lord, this is the cup you've put before me, because your will bring into my life what you have planned for me. If that's you this morning, the altar is open. Come talk to him a minute. Just come talk to him. Say, Lord, I surrender my will to you today. I surrender all my thinking, all my goals, all my dreams, all my ambitions. God, I give it to you this morning. I give it all to you, God. You take it over today and let me walk in what you have planned for me, not in what I have planned for me. I give it to you today, Lord. I give it to you. Go and sing a little something soft, Marjorie. Surrender today. Come up here and just surrender. Give it to God today. Just let it down. People come to the altar. Let's stand together, those of you. Let's just stand. If God is drawing you, come up here and talk to him this morning. Just surrender it all this morning. tired of living for me, God. I'm ready to live for you today. I'm tired of things not working out because I won't let it go. I trust your plan, God, more than mine. I trust your ways more than mine. Open the right doors. Close the wrong doors. Lead me the right places, God, that you call my life to be. Let's sing it together. Said in one place, he prayed three times for God to take the thorn out of his side. He said, Lord, take this away from me. Take this issue, whatever it was. People aren't exactly know what it is, but there were several things that could have been in Paul's life. And Jesus spoke to him and says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. Though you may carry this, I'm carrying you. Though you may have pain, I'm the one that can take the pain away. Though you may be going through this, I'm going through this with you. I'm by your side and I'm there. Trust me. This is part of the plan I have for you. Just trust me. Just trust me. This is the cup that you will drink out of. But as you drink out of this, something is going to happen in your life. Something is going to break. Something's going to be made whole. Something's going to be repaired as you drink out of this cup. I do not give you a cup to drink out of with no purpose and no plan. Every cup I give you has a purpose and a plan for me. So drink with obedience. Drink with confidence and know that I am here in the cup with you and I'm giving it to you for a reason and a purpose. Surrender to my will and watch what's going to happen in your life as you truly lay it all down this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed Savior, I surrender. Lord, as we stand in your presence today, we just ask that you take over our lives. That God, we all lay it down before you. That God, we surrender all to you, to the throne of God. And say, Lord, let your will in my life become my will. Let your desires become my desires. Let your passions become my passions. Let your ways become my ways. Let your thoughts become my thoughts. I want our lives to be married together, God, joint in one. That God, I will fulfill all you call me to walk in without hesitation, without reservation, but with boldness, with love, with obedience, and with confidence in the name of Jesus.